Chapter 59. Tolan. Breakfast was hastily eaten as the Lancers formed ranks in preparation for the upcoming battle. The division heads met with Commander Tolan to review the strategies and receive their orders. Once all discussions had been made and orders given, the officers proceeded to their assigned stations to begin briefing their men. Tolan stepped from his tent, which had officially become the garrison's headquarters.
At ease!
He returned the salutes of two sentries posted outside to keep watch over the battle plans, as well as oversee the protection of their commander. As much as Tolan detested war, he did enjoy the excitement it brought with it. Tolan was a man of strict order and discipline. He held firm to the belief of always being prepared. The only way to win was to set a contingency for every possible outcome and mitigate the likelihood of surprise. He loved to watch a well-drawn plan come to life, all the pieces of the puzzle fitting in their places and functioning as a whole to bring about the desired outcome. It was thrilling. He hoped that didn't make him a sadist. He didn't enjoy seeing his men hurt or killed, but he did enjoy the game. As long as his side came out victorious. Tolan found Arian and Captain Barthol near the front lines. Moving alongside the other two, he gazed across the open field at the black and red uniforms of the Silmaran forces on the other side.
"They seem to be waiting for something," Arian said, acknowledging Tolan's arrival.
"Any idea as to what?"
"None. That's what has me worried."
Tolan understood.
"I'm beginning to get that uneasy feeling myself," he admitted. "The Silmaran forces are nothing more than a ragtag group of mercenaries who have been well paid out of the pockets of overtaxed citizens. They have neither the resources nor the manpower that we bring with us, and yet, here they are."
"My ma'am always warned us boys before we went a-courtin'," Barthol interjected. "Just because she looks sweet and smells sweet, don't mean that she is."
He crossed his massive arms as he rocked back and forth.
"It's the so-called easy victories that tend to be the most difficult and costly."
"Aye," Tolan agreed.
If it seemed too good to be true, it generally was. He turned to Arian.
"I've had word the scouts we sent out last night have returned. I'd like you to sit in on their debriefing, if you have the time. To be honest, I'm a bit worried about their late arrival. I had expected them back hours ago."
"I'll see to the guards while you do that," Barthol said, as he took one last gander at the opposing army before turning around and disappearing back into the sea of rankers.
"He's a good man, Barthol is," Tolan said,
as he directed Arian back toward the Lancer command post.
"To a fault. Reminds me of Over-Captain Asa. I wouldn't be half the commander you see here today without Asa's support and loyalty."
"Barthol has been more than my right arm, that's for sure. He's one of the closest friends a man could ask for."
As they made their way through the encampment, Tolan could feel the weight of unease in the air resting heavily on the Lancers, as they waited for something to happen. He would have almost preferred the fighting to the unending apprehension of waiting for it. What his men were not saying spoke volumes as to their state of mind, as they maintained an active presence around the outskirts of the battlefield. The two sentries pulled back the canvas partitions to the Lancer staging area and stepped aside to allow them entrance. Arian was close on his heels. Stepping into the dimly lit room, Tolan wrinkled his nose as he was overpowered by the smell of hard sweat and old horse. There were four men standing in front of his desk. By their appearance, they looked to have seen some hard miles and rough road over their evening's excursion. The scouts were not arrayed in the same livery as the Lancer Corps. Instead, they were given the opportunity to wear what best suited their needs in remaining unseen while traveling through enemy territory. Each man wore an assortment of thick furs that covered most of their bodies. From a distance, they looked more like a pack of ratty badgers than a team of Alondrian lookouts. Tolan sat behind his desk and gestured to an empty chair at the side for Arian. On the left side of the doorway stood Over-Captain Asa, scratching at his eye patch, as he waited for the scouts to relay their findings. Tolan directed his attention to the man on the right.
Terrace, let's start with you.
A middle-aged man with disheveled hair draping his shoulders and a full beard covering a long face stepped forward and pulled off his fur hat before offering a quick salute.
Sir, Elson and I, we rode south along the Peruvian River, at least a good 10 miles before cutting west
and around the Silmaran forces. We spent the remainder of the night in Silmaran territory,
looking for signs of additional armsmen, but I am happy to report we found none. There were no signs of heavy crossings along the river, only local traffic.
He saluted again and stepped back. Tolan felt distinctly upbeat about the news.
Did you follow the main road into Silmar?
Over-Captain Asa asked.
Yes, sir, Terrace replied, as well as a few of the local fields and surrounding forests that would have also lent a possible route in case they tried concealing their movements. But still, nothing.
Very well, Tolan said, as he glanced at the other two. Merrick, what about you and Bale? Any sign of movement to the north?
Merrick, a short, round man with a square-cut goatee that didn't quite fit his chubby face, stepped forward and saluted.
Sir, we headed north toward the base of the Black Hills, and then cut west around the Silmaran ranks, but as the others, we found no signs indicating any additional forces.
The scout saluted and stepped back behind his partner. Tolan couldn't help but appreciate the very blunt and very brief report the short man had laid out regarding their findings. He also couldn't help but wonder what had happened to the others.
I thought there were 3 sets of scouts.
There were,
Asa replied, taking a moment to adjust his eye patch.
But the 3rd team hasn't returned as of yet, which has me a little troubled since they had the least distance to travel.
Where were they sent?
Asa scratched his chin, rubbing his fingers down his perfectly shaped ducktail beard.
I sent them to scout the passes in the Black Hills.
Turning to his side, the captain coughed up some phlegm, and not seeing a place to spit, he reluctantly swallowed.
We don't want those flaming Silmarins sneaking up our backsides in the night.
Tolan took a deep breath and turned to the scouts.
I hate to do this to you, but if something has happened, we need to know before we find ourselves in a situation from which we can't fight our way out.
Merrick saluted.
I can ride, sir. Rowan and Arnst are friends, and if something did happen to them, I want to know.
The other 3 sounded their enthusiasm as well.
Excellent.
Tolan stood from his seat.
How soon can you leave?
We'll need fresh mounts and supplies,
Merrick said, as he pursed his lips in thought.
I would say within the next 30 minutes.
He looked at the others for verification. They nodded.
Very well. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. You're dismissed.
The scouts raised their fists in salute and left. Tolan could only hope that what they found was nothing more than a lame horse, but something in his gut said differently. He had a bad feeling about this whole situation.